new here tonight and you're a child, just follow the rest of them. They'll be headed that way and then downstairs, ages 4 to 12. All right, 4 to 12. Ages 8 to 12 is junior camp. See, that's ingrained in my head. 4 to 12, children's church. I'm so grateful. We have three distinct children's ministries within this church. Every Sunday morning, there's Sunday school. Every Sunday night, right now, there's children's church. And every Wednesday night, there's power hour. That has a whole lot of effort. That's because that's how much our kids matter to us. It's a good investment, and I'm so grateful for those that labor tirelessly. Some of our Sunday school teachers have been teaching Sunday school for, well, I won't embarrass them, more years than I've been in the church, we'll say that. They're skilled, they're talented, we're so blessed. And they do it so selflessly. And I'll tell you what, the bond that happens in those children's ministries between the teachers and the kids doesn't just last for a season, it lasts for a lifetime. It's how God weaves it all together to give them a firm foundation, a solid starting point. Well, as I said, I'm so very, very, very pleased, excited to have Brother and Sister Jansen, and I want you to welcome him to the platform right now as he's here to preach the Word of God to us.
Well, we've been here before, and so while I will give honor to Pastor Portman, Pastor Schumacher, their families, for allowing me to be here, thanking my wife and family members who have shown up to the house of God, I really want to be on purpose with our time tonight. The more that I'm involved in the things of God, the more that I realize that the time is short, not solely speaking on biblical events and those type of things, but just in the reality that we have only so much time. The Bible says we are but dust and vapor. And so I want to use my time effectively, wisely, and I want to be on purpose. Lord, I ask right now that you minister to me and through me. God, that you would touch the hearts and minds of those in this place. Lord God, those that are under the sound of my voice, that they would receive tonight, Lord God, the edification, Lord God, a transference of faith through the spoken word in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's so good to see so many familiar faces, friends. There was a little person that walked past me, said, I know you. And so it's always fun when you kind of get to establish relationships and friendships with the people of God. I am honored to stand before you, but I believe that God has given me a word. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read verse 8 and 9. Thank you for honoring the word by standing. 2 Timothy 1, starting at verse 8 into verse 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You may be seated. Before the world began, he knew you. He knew me. We talk about him knowing the numbers of hairs on one's head. We talk about him knowing the very heart of individuals. But I want you to know above all things that he hears and he sees you. This is the problem with our world today. So many feel as though they are just simply not seen or heard. I've read it written this way, if you'll indulge me. An almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God in heaven is just waiting to hear from you. The psalmist David says he has his hand cupped behind his ear, listening for his children, asking for great and mighty things. He's listening for us to pull down the strongholds of this world, of the sin that besets, of the hurt that cripples. I'm going to tell you something. When you walk through these doors and you lift your hands to pray, I want you to remember that you're speaking to an almighty, all-knowing, and all-powerful God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who holds the seven seas in the palm of his hands. He weighs the mountains on a scale, the hills and the valleys. You can ask him for so many things, so staggering, so big. God again presses his ear, asking for things that are impossible, because with God, nothing is impossible. Ask God to defeat the giants in your life. I read that he's a giant killer. Ask him to divide the seas, to swallow up Pharaoh. Watch him make your enemies your stepping stone. Asking to send fire from heaven as he did for Elijah, and he will. Asking him to walk with you in the fire of the fiery furnace and be the fourth man in the fire, and he will. He said you will walk through fire and the fire ain't going to burn you. You will walk through the water and the water will not drown you. Ask him. He's the God who cannot fail. He's willing to show you great and mighty things. Ask him. Pray, pray, pray. God in heaven wants to hear. He wants to hear you because you have that power. You are made in his image. God is not a statue. He thinks. He speaks. He feels our infirmities. He answers our prayers. He's alive. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who's there. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is our banner. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God of our peace. Pray, pray, pray. God is saying, what do you need? Do you need healing? Ask in faith, believing that I will give. Do you need supernatural wisdom to make a decision? Ask, and I'll lead you on the paths of righteousness. Do you need peace that passes all understanding? Please, just ask, because nothing is impossible to them that believe. Nothing will be withheld from those who diligently seek him. Do you need the impossible? Open your mouth. Open your mouth in faith, believing. You're not talking to just anybody. We can't sustain breath without his mercy. You're speaking to the creator who spoke worlds into existence. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He uses gold to build streets. He moves mountains, divides seas. He gives you wells you didn't dig, vineyards you didn't plant, and houses you didn't build. He will make you the head and not the tail, because nothing, hear the preacher, nothing, say it with me, nothing is impossible with God. Church, we must not be satisfied. We must want more of him. And we must want to be used in more of a mighty way than we ever thought possible. Because there are so many that have no idea that he is waiting and listening. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you, that's right, my friend, an expected end. It didn't just occur to God that you were in need. It didn't just occur to God that there's sickness in your body. It didn't just occur to God that you're dealing with emotional stress that no person should have to deal with. Those things in your past, it didn't just occur to God. He wants to make you new. He desires a new beginning in you. I've titled this message, Not Ashamed. I learned a long time ago that there are things to be ashamed about. I didn't grow up in this mess. I did some stupid stuff that I'm ashamed about. But with God, I don't need to be ashamed. I can ask those tough things. I can expect those tough things to take place. Bro, that's what I heard before service started, an expectation that God was going to show up. Listen to me. I know the difference between just going through the motions. I'm coming over to you. And having an expectation of the sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. Hey, hold on. When my man was behind here tickling these ivory keys, I began to think to myself, uh-oh, God's about to do something in the house. Because he's listening and he's expecting for you to know that he's here in this place. And you don't have to be ashamed of what you were. You know that God holds you in the palm of his hands. Hey, amen. I'm going to take this water. I don't know if it belongs to me or not. I worked in a prison. It don't matter to me. Amen. Let's go to our text. 2 Kings 2, verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Church, I'm not ashamed to ask for more of what those who have come before me have experienced as it pertains to living out this apostolic gospel truth. I'm not ashamed to say, Lord, if you did it for them, I don't want to stop where they left off. I want more. I desire more. I'm expecting more. Church, the church we had last week is not good enough for this week, and this week's experience ain't good enough for next week. I have got to have a brand new experience. I want to go further. If you're to ask me what I need a double portion. I need a double portion. We need some more Elijahs. We need some more Elishas. We need those that are willing to mentor. And we need those that are willing to be mentored. We need those that are expecting something greater than those that came before. Now, before we go any further, we need to try to understand why Elisha prayed for a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. And really, to sum it up, it's because he had really seen some great things out of that guy that came before him. 2 Kings 2 and 8, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. We give all the credit to the Red Sea experience, which was fabulous and great. But the thing was, they were running for their lives in that experience. When Moses took them over the Red Sea, it was because they were running for their lives. In this instance, Elijah, he hits the water because they were going to take the land. And he just didn't want to get his feet wet. Hold on, I know it's going to take a second. See, Moses was in retreat mode, and so God comes in, he swoops in, he divides the waters. But Elisha's ready to go in and start taking some land, so he hits the water, it separates. And here we see them walk over on dry land. There's two paradigms here. Yes, God will get you through a mess sometimes, But we need to move beyond getting through messes and start moving into victory. Start moving into places where we're taking ground. Start moving into places where we understand that God has more for us than just to help us limp along. I'm tired of limping along. We weren't made to limp along. We're overcomers. We're overcomers. Elijah's life was full of the miraculous, from resurrecting the dead in 1 Kings chapter 17 to calling down fire from heaven in chapter 18. This is why Elisha said, I want to do what you did, but double it. He was next to the man of God as the man of God did great things. But Elisha knew it wasn't enough. God intends more for his people today. Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Elisha was praying a double portion of faith. Hear my words. He was praying a double portion of faith, not the miraculous. Miracles are a result of faith. I'm not going to be ashamed of my faith. Why don't we see the type of miracles that they saw in the Bible? I hear that a lot. To which I respond, whose lens are you looking through? I was at the bedside of a young man who had a brain aneurysm just a couple of weeks ago. His name is Robert. Robert's been fighting with his health for a very long time, and so when his mother called me and said, I found Robert lying face down on the floor, unresponsive, I kind of had a feeling it wasn't good. So when I got to the hospital, I saw Robert in the bed, and I was glad he was alive. But as he was thriving in that bed, I began to ask God, why? Lord, why are you doing this? Lord, why is he here? Lord, why does he have to go through these things? Because after all, I'm just a human being. It's not easy to watch somebody lying in a hospital bed fighting for their life, but that's the business I'm in. But I began to pray, God, your will be done. God, if you are in this place, which I know you are, reveal yourself in this room. I began to take dominion and power over life and death. And you say, well, how is that, preacher? Because we have a faith that tells us we have a God that hears, and we hear that greater things will you do. Do I have to convince you? We have a Holy Ghost that's on the inside, a power that God himself has given us to do greater things. So I left that hospital place, and I was told, you know, as was his mother and his family, that it's not great. Now, here's the thing. The will of God is the will of God, and I'm not one to necessarily try to mess with the will of God, but I read a portion of Scripture where Abraham decided to ask God for a little favor, peradventure. Those were the words that he used as he was trying to get the number down just a little bit of the amount of people that he needed to find in a community for God to spare that community. God, I understand you have a will, but I also understand that when we speak, you hear. It was about 3 days later, his mother called me and said, Pastor, you're never going to believe it. He's talking. I mean, he doesn't really remember what happened, but he's starting to say mom or hurt or help. And so we prayed again over the phone, asking God that he would complete the work that he started. How can you have that kind of boldness, preacher? Well, let me tell you, I don't take credit whether he lives, and I certainly ain't going to take the blame whether he dies. This is God's business. I'm simply called to operate in authority and faith, knowing that we're supposed to do greater things. I'm talking to somebody about faith tonight. I'm talking about not being ashamed of what God's given you. It was about a week later, the mom calls me again and says, Robert's being moved from the ICU into a regular bed. I said, praise God, keep me updated. I was done praying over it. Listen, I already talked to God. I made my petition known. I got other things going on. I believe, that's not insensitive, folks, that's faith. I believe that once we speak to God, he hears us, and he doesn't need to be reminded like a nagging child to a parent. That's some of y'all's problem. I'm going to talk about that for a second, because just, I'm telling you. I can tell. When it goes over real hard, I'm just going to stop for a minute. Who here has a child under the age of 10? Who here has a teenager? Praise him. God, if I have not been nagged to death by some teenage children, now, my little people, dada, up, right? I pick up, man. I'm here. Dada, can I have candy? No candy right now. Dada, please, candy. No candy. No, dada. Nag you to death. I said no, stop it. But then you get this big individual, these teenagers. My nephew, he's living with me. He's like this tall. He's this, like, big, huge person invading my space. Uncle. Yeah, he's got chin hair. Uncle. Hey, man, can I use the car? No, man, you can't use the car. It's my car. Please, let me use the car. I said, no, you're not using the car. You put gas in the car? No. You're not using the car. You pay the insurance on the car? No. You ain't using the car. Please, let me use the car. Stop nagging me. Here's the deal. I was created in the image of God. If I don't like people nagging me, after I've already given an answer and I've already heard, I can assume that the living God, who has to hear all of us, does not enjoy being nagged. So lay your burden at his feet. Ask what you need to ask, and just receive what he's giving you. You may not like the answer, but can I say that God probably knows a little bit more than you do? There's some things I've asked for from God that he has said no, and I've been a little salty about. Like, well, why isn't this happening the way that I think it should be? But hindsight's always 20/20, and then I find myself going, oh, Lord, thank you, that didn't happen. Anybody ever been there before? Okay, now that we're on the same page, I can move on. Stop nagging God. You've been to the altar. Pastors prayed for you. God's spoken to you. Can you just receive? Thank you, sir. Thank you for receiving what God has given you. Folks, we're overcomers. We need to start thinking about the double portion, not living in a past of failure. God is ready to move. Don't be ashamed to move forward. Well, I can't be ashamed of my faith. About 2 years ago, I started asking God that he would increase my territory. Remember that whole prayer of Jabez thing back in the early 2000s? It was put on everything. Prayer of Jabez on a rock. Prayer of Jabez on a t-shirt. Prayer of Jabez on the you know, mantle. Prayer of Jabez on the bumper sticker. But it came to me again like 2 years ago, and I'm like, Lord, I'm going to pray that prayer. Increase my territory. Increase my territory. Keep me from evil. Pray in that prayer. Well, I want you to know God hears the prayer. As Pastor Portman has said, God has opened up some doors, or should I say responsibilities, to my family and I. And we are asking God for faith as we are ministering in ways we never thought possible. Now, the point of this story is not to go into the things that we're doing, but to understand that we all are to step into areas of faith and areas of ministry that we never thought possible. We've got to add some things to our walk. We've got to realize that we are no longer to be ashamed by asking the big things. I tell our youth all the time, ask God to use you. Ask God to put you in position to teach. Ask God that you would be able to travel and minister. Ask God to be the next. We put a lot of great men on pedestals, but the reality is the best is yet to come. We've heard it before. The greatest sermon has yet to be preached. Those ones that are coming after us need to know that they can expect and not be ashamed to ask God to do more for a double portion. James 2, 17 through 20, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I've got to have a faith that supersedes what is simply before my eyes. This church has got to have faith beyond what it sees on a Sunday night. You are not confined to these four walls or the number of seats in this sanctuary. You are not confined to this beautiful space. And believe me, folks, this is a beautiful space. But please, if your ministry starts and ends here, you are not thinking and you are not believing and you are not speaking the double portion blessing, ministry, involvement that God has for you. That's good stuff. There's a whole room full of people here that God is intending to take beyond their current situation into the miraculous if we would simply ask and believe. Now, this is the opposite of easy believism. This takes work. O vain man, faith without works is dead. So how does one receive faith? Romans 12 and 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, in my finite mind, I imagine my wife as she cooks and she brings out the measuring spoons and she dishes up certain portions because this guy needs to be portion controlled. Here's what I know, though. I know there are bigger cups in the cupboard. If we understand this in the finite or physical, we must realize this in the spiritual, that while God has given a measure of faith, he can add to that measure by placing ourselves in position to receive what he has for us. Faith comes from the message that is read in our Bibles. It's preached in our churches. Faith comes with the experience that you have with him in your prayer closet. Faith comes with the sacrifices that you leave on that altar. If you're not satisfied with the amount of faith that you are currently operating, ask for more. Lord, I want more. Don't be ashamed to ask for more. I want to see more. I want to do more. I want to be part of more. I've never seen or heard of somebody turning down a raise on their job because we like more. But it seems like there's a whole lot of people too timid to step into a place where God is able to pour more out. There are too many churches right now that are operating just to maintain. Well, God is saying, I want to do more. I desire to do more. There are too many places in which God is desiring to inhabit, to make a name, to bring a remnant of people that we are just too afraid to ask for. Shame on those that will not step into place and ask God for that double portion. I know that's hard stuff, but I've been doing this for a while now, and I've just gotten a little fed up. We can do church all the time, and we're good at it. Man, I know when I can. I know when to amen, and I don't even be paying attention. I've been in more church services than most people are in their entire lives in like 3 months over camp season. You dig what I'm saying? I don't want to just have another church service. I'm not here to check a box. I'm looking for more. I'm desiring more. That's why I'm speaking to you tonight, because I believe that there is a people that God has set apart for a purpose and a mission, and it is through that identity that we are going to see God lifted up and draw all men unto himself. What does faith do? Elijah received his double portion. So much so that when he was dead, his bones touch another dead guy. The dead guy starts breathing again. So much faith in his bones that even though he's gone, his bones touch a dead body. The dead body jumps up out the grave. Now you can believe it or not, but I have watched as Robert, who was in a bed in an ICU, then moved to another unit, was in my church this morning testifying as to what God had done in his life. A man that was dying, who for all intents and purposes, they were planning his funeral, was in my church this morning praising God and thanking him for a second chance. I don't know about you, but that does something to my faith. Jesus says in Matthew 17:20, "For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing." Nothing, hear me, church, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Let's stand together. Now, there was an expectation prior to this service. There was a demonstration during the song service. You were all so attentive during the ministry part of the service as far as the spoken word is concerned. Now, we get to put all that together for a moment of time at an altar. While this may not be that Old Testament altar that they found at the tabernacle, please understand that this is the first place we ought to be. This is the first place we ought to come to lay our sacrifice that is to be a sweet savor unto the nostrils of our Lord. This is where we do battle. This is where we come. This is where expectation is to be made and is to be followed through upon. Now, I don't want to sit here and put parameters on what can happen here. But I believe that if there are some people of God that are filled with this Holy Ghost that can imagine bigger things, greater things, obnoxious things. Man, I'm praying for a building right now. It's getting obnoxious. I want a shower in my office. I don't even have an office. It's getting obnoxious because I believe that God wants to do greater. 1 Peter 1, 8, 9, as you begin to come, whom having not seen ye love, in whom thou now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That said, go ahead and lift your voice. Jesus, right now. Right now, we take authority. Right now, we're going to begin to pray those big prayers. Right now, we're going to begin to expect, Lord God, and we're going to get ready to receive, Lord, that healing touch, that deliverance, Lord God, that blessing, Lord God, that newness of joy, Lord God, that filling of my spirit. In Jesus' name, that's it, church. Just lift your hands. God is in the miracle working business, but it's by your faith. That's it. Go ahead and lift your voice. There is none like you, God. A double portion. A double portion. My God. In the name of Jesus, I plead your blood. Lord God, over every sickness, over every doubt, over every disease. Lord God, that you would make a way when there is no way. Lord God, that you would pave the path to victory. In Jesus' name. That's it, church. My God.